Hello and welcome to Agents of Speak, the companion show to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. This is episode 6, following the just recently aired episode 6 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which was called Fzzt, because of the interesting issues we had in there. Luckily, we didn't have too many interesting issues today, just getting this up and running. We all managed to get up without too many technical difficulties. We'll see if we can keep it up throughout the episode. So, as usual, I'm Ben, and with me tonight we have Dave.
Yo.
And John.
Hello.
And Scott.
Hi, everybody.
And Peter said he might join us, but we'll see what happens. Anyway, let's go ahead and jump right into it.
You said no technical difficulties, but his Comcast was down, so he couldn't watch the show. So that's a pretty big technical difficulty.
It's a technical difficulty, but it's not a technical difficulty with this broadcast.
Yes, maybe, it's not our fault.
Now I'm having communication difficulties with my co-hosts.
How would he get online if his Comcast was down?
I didn't ask all those questions.
That's a very good question.
So anyway, I'm going to sum it up. Our episode tonight, we saw basically the team got called into an event where, you know, we saw the camping scene in the beginning where the Boy Scouts or whatever they were supposed to be were telling ghost stories, and then their one camp guide host, I don't know what you call that guy,
Scoutmaster
wandered off, thank you John, and got fizzled out in the forest and ended up floating in the air with a hole in his head, which creeped out my son significantly for a little while, but he managed to muscle through it. So obviously the team is called in because you don't often see floating corpses.
Where you are.
Perhaps not, and hopefully it stays that way. So we saw that, and they had a couple other incidences. You thought it was going to turn out to be like someone doing something, especially with the sort of chilling, you know, go to commercial break with that one firefighter and hit the when you saw the helmet, which my son predicted was the helmet of Sauron from Lord of the Rings.
Oh, nice.
Right.
But then we saw... Obviously, it panned out that it was not anything so villainous. It was just, you know, basically a freak infection from this alien helmet that they all happen to contract.
Yeah, and space herpes it really sucks. Sometimes.
It can be a bitch.
Rust.
Yes. That damn space rust.
That's the technical name there.
So we end up with them taking it back on the ship, investigating it, and of course, someone gets infected. And was that Fitz or Simmons? I keep getting them mixed up.
Simmons.
So yeah. And then, of course, you know, they think you're not going to get a cure in time, and then obviously works out, but plenty of drama ensues. So where to begin here? So what did we think overall of the episode? Do we think it was... I liked how they're continuing to tie the world together by having the artifact that triggered all this being a Chitauri helmet from the events in New York, that there was surrounded this set of firefighters that were called in to help respond from Pennsylvania. I don't know if it's a real town that they use in Pennsylvania, but I have yet to go to the interwebs to find that out. I think. What do you guys think?
I really liked the episode. I thought it was pretty strong. Very good character building episode. That's, I think, what I liked about it. You know, for both Fitz and Simmons, because they've kind of just been the cartoon character geeks on the show so far. So they really delved into their character a lot in the episode. But there was also a lot of character building for Coulson, you know, which we've had, but we really haven't had, you know. Instead of being, oh, Tahiti's a magical place over and over again, you know, this time it was like, no, a traumatic thing happened to me and I've come out different from that. And it's, you know, it almost kind of put to bed the him being Vision.
Or the life model decoy.
Right. I mean, they showed the scar.
Well, supposedly. I don't think it puts it to bed, per se. Okay. I think there is still something more. Here's, and I'll only say it for this reason. There's something more going on with him. It's not, it may be more subtle. Because, you know, we had that theme running through the as an undercurrent, as a subplot, that, you know, he was having those medical tests run on him, and which in the end you find out were not necessarily come down from HQ, but they were his own. You know, he ordered them on himself because he felt like he was different.
Right.
And we had that scene between him and May at the end to that regard. But the one thing that he did note as far as his blood work was that his iron levels were a little high. And I wonder if that's a little bit of an Easter egg to what actually happened to him, that maybe that iron is from something. Maybe he's not, as I keep playing on, you know, being a life model decoy or vision or whatever, but maybe instead he has some sort of artificial, you know, parts or something like that that are helping keep him alive.
Or he could just have a lot of liver in his diet.
And how do they get all that liver on that plane on a week-to-week basis?
I don't know, but, you know.
I think they explained it well at the end. I think basically when he came back with a little bit more badass from the other side, and now he's just going to, you know, kick ass through all these episodes. I mean, everybody we've met so far is like, wait, that's Coulson. You realize he's changed, right? I mean, you've gotten furtive glances. There was one part at the end of one of the episodes where one of the agents that was leaving said, oh, you know, you realize he's different, right?
It was the
right
one with the eye camera in the eye.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and she made that vague comment about how he was different, and which we all projected meant maybe she saw something physically in him that was different with her vision. But maybe she did, maybe she didn't. We'll find out in time.
Was anyone watching tonight going, okay, they're killing off Simmons? Did anyone think that was a possibility?
Oh, I was hoping it wasn't going to pull a Joss Whedon.
I personally did not think that. Even up to the moment where she jumps out of the plane and they go to commercial, I was thinking, all right, someone is jumping off that plane to save her, probably with a parachute and with the anti-serum in hand. I actually thought it might end up being Coulson, but clearly, obviously, it ended up being Ward.
Admit it, you were hoping it was going to be Thor who would just bring her up and say, hey, you dropped something.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I was hoping for.
I thought it would be Iron Man. But, yeah, I didn't think they were going to kill her off. Not for a second. But, you know, I actually didn't enjoy the episode until they started getting into the character development between Fitz and Simmons.
Finally.
You know, I kind of thought that the first half hour was just there to kind of set it up, which it was.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I kind of felt like they were all over the place with it, you know? But in the end, I mean, I liked where it went.
Yeah. Well, I do think that the scenes earlier on, while it was sort of, you know, they were circling the topic matter to get to the heart of things, I did think that the scene in the firehouse was telling and bit character defining. Where you see the way that Coulson reads the situation, where he has a certain level of knowledge and input coming into it and reacts to it based on it being a threat, but quickly susses out that it's the nature of things are different than expected and that this is a different problem that he has to address, and deftly jumps to that task, you know, just showing how great an agent Coulson is.
And that's another thing, too, because, and this is something Marvel is mostly good at, is humanizing their characters. So that moment between him and the fireman, knowing that the fireman was about to die, you know, Coulson, he just, I like the way they brought his character in. That, yeah, he can be tough as nails, and then he can have moments like that where you really get the sense that he cares, and that's why he's doing what he does, because he wants to help people.
Yeah. Yeah, and he wanted to connect with the guy and help him through something that he realized was not going to be easy. This guy was literally about to die, and there was nothing he could do about it. So, yeah, you switch modes and you deal with the problem head on. You know, he could have you know, if it was Ward, for instance, in that room instead of Coulson, you know, Ward would have probably just said, all right, we need to clear the firehouse now, and
yeah, gotten out of there
and sort of left the guy to you know, be panicked and face the thing alone. Coulson, you know, stayed in there right up until the last moment he could safely stay in there and dealt with the problem, you know, in a heartfelt manner, and that was a great scene.
He saw him out. It wasn't a problem to him. It was a human being, and that's I like the writing like that.
Yeah, there was a lot of emotional depth, I think, in that scene from Clark Gregg, which is interesting. Have any of you listened to the latest Nerdist?
Not the latest.
It was Clark Gregg, and I listened to it on the way home.
I may have to skip ahead to that one.
I listened to it on the way home today. And what I found fascinating about the episode was him talking about, obviously, the character of Coulson and how, you know, if everyone remembers and goes back to the second Iron Man movie where he was introduced, he didn't actually even have a name in the movie. He was just an agent.
Right.
And then that built up over time. And, you know, now he's talking about doing the show, and yet he'll get a script and go, oh, Coulson likes this. Oh, Coulson thinks this way. So even he doesn't have a full definition of who Coulson is yet at this point. He's still developing the character as we're all on the journey together, you know. So yeah, to come out and to do a scene like that now in the show and have that emotional depth, I think A, speaks a lot to him as an actor, and B, to the character, you know, like now you're getting a more and more sense of who this guy is, you know, who he is now, you know, right, versus who he was before he was killed for 8 seconds.
Yeah.
Or 40 seconds, yeah.
40 seconds, you know.
I think it was probably more, regardless of how long it was, but we'll find that in time. So, the one thing that I wanted to mention, and it was a subtle hint there. I mean, we had the more obvious tie-in with the Chitauri helmet and those events of New York, but there was another tie to the cinematic universe and things related to it. The guy that he kept talking to via the video conferences, who ended up showing up at the end, Agent Blake, he was in one of the Marvel one-shots, specifically okay, the one that was released with the Avengers movie, I believe. It was called Item 47, I want to say. Was that what it was called? He was the one who sent Sitwell out to deal with the situation. Does anyone remember? Did everyone watch that at all?
I haven't seen the one shot, no.
Oh, okay. It's a shame.
I'm very sad that I have not seen that.
You should all see that. It is great. It's probably on YouTube. So let's stop the show right now and go.
Okay.
Everybody will understand, right? Yeah. They're all geeks.
Why do you have to stop the show? We can keep recording while we all watch it.
Oh, it'll be one of those shows. Okay.
Yes.
Watch us watch YouTube videos.
Yes. That's nice. Why are we doing this? We should just record while we watch the show. And there we go. Just our reactions to things.
That makes great TV.
Exactly. An hour of us sitting and watching a TV show. Not even trim for content.
Our wives wouldn't even watch that.
No. My wife doesn't watch this, so I don't think she's going to watch that. Anyway, so yeah, you guys should watch that. But he was in basically the play of that. Just to give a summary of it, Agent Blake was, you know, in a field office. Sends Sitwell, who's the bald one, who was actually in one of the previous one shots, the one which Coulson, one of the ones that Coulson was in, where they had to deal with, they wanted to get, what's his face, Abomination on the Avengers team, yeah, and someone had to go talk to General Ross about it. Did you guys see that one? No. Yeah.
Sorry.
You guys stuck.
I didn't know there was going to be a test.
Anyway.
All right, that's our homework after this.
Disregard. Episode. You guys need to go watch all of the Marvel one-shots that are out there, so that I'm not making these comments and sounding like, you know, an idiot to blank stares and crickets. So anyway, it's a tie back for, you know, it's a deeper tie back that for those of us who have watched these things and recognize them.
It's a deep cut, yeah, as they say.
So we definitely, I did like, and I agree with what you said, Scott, with the second half of the episode was probably the more interesting episode, where you have the drama with Simmons being quarantined, and the two, her and Fitz, somewhat at odds, but then coming together at the end to work through the problem.
I was, you know, like, it's not that I didn't enjoy the first part of the episode. I just feel like it, the second part, I was definitely much more on the edge of my seat. I was much more kind of, you know, engaged, you know, especially because, you know, at the beginning of the episode, they kind of, you know, they go through the whole Fitz thing with Sky, where he's sort of like hitting on her. And she's like, well, you know, you and Simmons are really great, you know, great together, you complete each other's sentences, you know, and then they kind of reinforce that at the end of the episode, which I thought was really great. But the beginning part was just, you know, like a means to an end. I just, you know, they had to describe how she was going to get this virus, and I just felt like that took an awful long time, like 30 minutes almost. You know, but again, I didn't hate it. I just, you know, I liked the second part better.
Yeah, that's fair.
Well, I liked it.
Go ahead.
No, I liked it. I thought the pacing was pretty good. I mean, you know, that was a lot to stick into one episode. They could have actually made that a two-parter, but
they didn't.
Yeah, because it might have drawn out the part where they're trying to figure out how to cure, but yeah. It wasn't the last minute cure thing. You know, I like how they made it so, oh, wait, the rat was just knocked out. Wait! What could have only made it better was if Fitz had grabbed the rat and held it up as she finally just jumped, as she just jumped out of the plane, and have that look on her face go, oh, no.
That would have been interesting if it was just like that moment too late.
Yeah, that, wait,
she's already falling.
But
that wasn't the third rat. That was a fourth rat that he had administered differently. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the final one that they thought was dead, but wasn't actually. It still floated. It just
No. So there was the third one that floated, that they thought was the final one that would work, but he tinkered with it, and I think administered it on a fourth one, just before he was knocked out. By Simmons, just before she hit him in the back of the head. So that's what he was talking about as she was prepping to knock him out.
In my rush to finish, seeing as how I started 15 minutes later, I might have fast-forwarded past through that. But
I agree with you, John, with about the pacing. Because I think if they try to fit it in, you know, the first act, or however they call it in TV world, you know, the first 15 minutes... it probably would have felt rushed, that setup. You know, I think taking 30 minutes may have been boring to some people, but it was, you know, if, instead of rushing it, where it was just like, oh yeah, there's this virus.
Did I use the word boring? I just said I like the second part of the episode better.
It wasn't on the edge of your seat television.
It wasn't. I admit that it wasn't, and I didn't like it because of that.
Yeah, no, and I agree. If the episode turned out to be just a series of those, like they kept going down a rabbit hole of the same event after the same event, you know, like you know, you said if it became a two-parter, so the first half was instead of three guys, it was like five or six guys that you had to go through before they finally figured out what was going on. That would have been tedious, and that I think I would have tuned out on, you know, about halfway through and just to let it blur together. So I am glad that they sort of encapsulated it a bit and made it just sort of the opening act that led into something else.
So I've got two things to bring up. Number one, was everybody as disappointed as I was when in the scene where they're in the truck, in the pickup, or not the Escalade, whatever it was, trying to get to the farm before the second event, that they said we need to take a shortcut, and they didn't activate the flying car?
Yeah, I thought they were flying.
I'm sitting there going, dude, flying car, Yes, and then they, you know, pull off the street and go.
Right, they literally just just turn right and they're in the farm. Pete, well, Pete and also joined. Yes, welcome, Pete.
Pete, you're muted.
He's there. He'll figure it out. But yeah, to say what you're saying, the farmhouse. Well, the other thing that bugged me about that is, like, you saw the scene, the map scene, the screen in the where they were tracking what was going on. And they showed where it was happening, and they showed where the truck was, and it was a straight path down the road.
Yeah.
There is no shortcut to that. So, shortcut, turn right, and we're automatically where we need to be. There must have been, like, a wormhole right there that they slid through.
No, that was good product placement.
Yeah, I guess
was
so.
Was it GMC, you know, or whatever the...
Whatever the vehicle was, they wanted to show it off a little
even
bit.
Even regardless of all that... they have a flying car and they need to get there quickly. Why would they take a regular car in the first
place? No kidding, you know? But, okay, so that's number one. Number two is Grant. Grant made mention at one point, you know, when there was all that stress, I just wanted to be some super-powered guy that I can punch.
Yeah.
And I think he's sort of, the writers are sort of echoing what we out here were expecting or what they thought we would be, we were hoping to expect that. If we finally see some superpowered guy that they go up against, but no, it's an alien virus.
Yeah. Well, maybe. I take what you're saying there. I think that, yeah, we wouldn't mind seeing that. But I don't think they need to jump to that any sooner than they need to. And we've seen Ward in, you know, in some fistfights here and there, so it's not like there is a lack of action. But the one thing I will, you know, from a writing perspective... I wonder if to some extent that line was less echoing what they think we want to see and more echoing what we think Ward would say in that scenario based on how he's been characterized to date. And you have to keep in mind, I think literally every episode of the show has been written by a different person and directed by a different person. So we don't, makes it actually pretty impressive that they've been as consistent in the tone of the show as they have.
Actually, I kind of think it's along the lines of echoing a lot of what Ward was in this episode was echoing a lot of the criticisms about Ward so far, about him being cookie cutter, because it seemed like they tried to make him have more emotions and more of a personality in this episode. I don't know how well they succeeded.
Yeah.
They tried.
Well, it doesn't help when he's standoffish with Sky still from the events of last week. Though it keeps continuity nicely, I will give them that.
Pete, anything to add?
Well, I was actually watching you guys talk,
and then you were the one person.
Yeah, that I could actually just join right in.
Wait, is that Rainbow Dash?
Yes, sorry. It is. I noticed that. I was gonna wait. Distracted. I was gonna hold on that one until. But
does it look very familiar, John?
Is that mine from work?
Nice.
I figured since you left it by my desk, you were giving it to me. So.
Oh, there
you
go.
Nice.
Don't worry, I'm taking really good care of it, John. Yes.
Kudos, Pete.
I will return it to your desk. Yes. Actually, that was really quick, John. I was going to take bets to see how long it would take you to notice.
Y'all would have lost.
A Brony never misses Rainbow Dash.
Or Fluttershy. No, but I'm not a Brony, so I wouldn't know.
Of course not. Of course not.
Anyway, I wanted to you guys started hinting about it, but I want to say, now I have to, you have to forgive me for not watching the actual episode this week. I missed out, but I did stay in touch with Twitter, and I was paying attention to what was going on. But what it seems like they did since the pilot to now is they have actually been listening to their fans, and you were touching it with Ward, and from what I understand, and don't give it away, but the Fitzsimmons, whatever happened there, they were listening. Fans have been saying that they want those characters to come out more, and the same thing with Ward. So I think they're listening. I think they're actually listening, and they're trying to make the episode fuller.
Yeah, well, I think they are accomplishing that goal. We definitely did see more characterization with all three of them, and all of them generally. And yeah, I think it's one of those things. Like, there was a point earlier in the episode before they were doing that piece. I want to say it was when they were arguing out in the field, where I forget if it was one of my kids or if it was actually my wife who asked if they were brother and sister. Right. And, like, they have different last names.
Yeah.
I don't think so. So, you know,
you don't have to withhold from me. Spoil away.
Yeah.
I'd just like to know what their real relationship is. Because they're obviously incredibly close, but either they've decided to be just friends or Fitz is a complete idiot.
Well, I think it's the latter, and they sort of hinted at that in this episode, actually, because they talked. There was one point, and maybe you fast-forwarded through this one, there was one point where Fitz was talking to Simmons about things and basically sort of venting some frustration of how, like, they've been always around each other. Like
that I caught.
Almost as if she's following him through everything, that there is no way for them to be separate and be independent entities. Which I think, honestly, from a writing standpoint, was probably somewhat to make them coming together and gel together towards the end have more emotional impact. But it also fills in the gaps a little bit. So yeah, it just seems like they met in college and just have been inseparable ever since. Even though their fields are completely different.
Maybe they're both idiots. I don't know. I mean, you know, two people together that long, following each other around.
Well, it's one of those things that they came together, they ended up in the friend zone with each other.
Right.
And it's hard to get out of that spot once you're in it.
Right. And
especially for geeks.
Right. I'm saying they're playing the whole geek card. They're socially awkward, you know, and that's, yeah, they've been friends for so long they don't know how to get out of it.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're gonna pull. There's a show called Primeval, where the two main characters were, you know, a guy and a girl. I forget their names. The woman was played by Hannah Spirit, and they were geeks for most of the show. And then, you know, they had that one moment, and it was really good. Hmm. So I'm wondering if they'll play that with this, because it'd be really nice to see like one of them just, you know, suddenly go all out for the other,
yeah,
and finally, yeah, you know, have them realize what they mean to each other.
Right, have some cathartic event or moment that sort of changes the state of their relationship.
Yeah, you kind of think this would be it, but apparently they're too hardcore geek for that. So.
Well, I don't think it's not. I think we will see a change over time with this, because I think that you know, it was a close call. These types of things affect you. And even within that, there were moments when Fitz was just sort of like patiently waiting and being sort of in his silo and in his comfort zone, where he transitioned to like embracing things and jumping in there. And by literally jumping into the tank with her to help work through the problem, you know, he was crossing that line. He was admitting that that she meant more to him than just a colleague, I think.
Exactly.
And I think that, you know, and she had that near-death experience. And while they didn't really play it out in this episode, we may see ripple effects of that in the future.
Hmm. If we don't, we'll all be highly upset.
Yes.
Although, speaking of relationships and our emotional states are related to them, I did read something today in an interview with the Chloe Bennett, who plays Skye, saying that she's actually hoping that her connection with Ward does go in that direction, that it becomes a romantic entanglement down the road. But mostly because she thinks he's hot, so...
So then we're going to have the love plane?
Yes, we have the love plane.
Well, then it's Phil and Melinda May, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They obviously have some kind of past. And there was that one mention, spoilers, Pete. You can take your headphones out now for a second. You know? that one thing that they mentioned where, yeah, she had died in the past too.
Hmm.
Well, wait, they didn't actually
say
said?
It. No, I think that she was just more commiserating that she understands it.
She said something happened to her, and he stopped her before she actually said what it was.
But she said, you know, it took me a while, too. I mean, you know, what does that mean other than, she died at some point?
It can mean other things. It can definitely mean other things. For instance, I mean, we know that she was known colloquially as the Cavalry. Maybe she has a tragic backstory similar to the woman in Hero's Duty in Wreck-It Ralph.
This is Marvel Universe. Everybody's got a tragic backstory.
Right, but I'm saying maybe it wasn't her, maybe it was someone close to her. Maybe she got close to a fellow agent in the field and he got killed and that took its toll on her. It doesn't necessarily mean that she died, but it means something happened to her that was of that level of life-changing event.
I mean, they've been hinting about that since the show started with, you know, you're just flying the plane because something happened to her and she doesn't want to be in action anymore. And then she became accepting of her role and started going out and doing stuff again. But, I mean, obviously something happened to her. We don't know exactly what yet. And Coulson stopped her this week before she said what it was.
Yeah.
I don't think she died, John. I'm sorry. That's stretching.
Well, it's still the Marvel Universe, so anything's possible.
True. Hold on to that.
She died, but it was in the future. And then she...
Oh, dear. Yes, and then there's her cameo in Days of Futures Past. So
if they all hook up, are they going to have to change the show to Agents of Love? Or is that what we're going to call this show?
No, we're not going to show it called this that. It's not going to happen.
Then Pete will quit.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I thought that's what we were going towards. As why I got the shirt going and everything.
You're going to start playing some Marvin Gaye music over there? And...
That's right. That's...
And the Remo Dash on your wall, yes. That obviously is... That is girl
say no more,
right
Pete.
There, man.
Say no more. You had me at Rainbow Dash. Anyway, I think that's the awkward moment that we can call a wrap here, and I'm calling an audible. So let's go around the room and just give our thoughts. Final thoughts on it and what we're looking forward to. Dave, why don't you start?
I'll give it our rating. I thought it was a strong episode again because of the character development in it. I'm going to say it was a 7.5 out of 10. I hope they keep going this way with the show, keep the character development going. I kind of hope. I've been saying I was waiting for the Fitzsimmons episode, and this was it. But I really hope they keep going forward with that relationship and explore more, and hopefully explain to us, you know, again what their true relationship is. Like John was saying, you know, they're not brother and sister, but like, how did they meet and why have they been together so long? Other than she's been following him around, because that's puppy love, and it seems weird.
Yeah, well, knowing Joss Whedon, there will be some sort of, like, epic backstory episode where, you know, they have flashes of what, you know, what happened to these characters before as they're dealing with some trauma in the present. No one gets a Firefly reference. No. I hate all of you.
We get it. We're just not acknowledging it.
Fine.
Okay, Scott, what did you think?
Well, like I said, I'm gonna give this a 5. I'm gonna rate this the lowest of the episodes that I've seen to date, only because I probably just wasn't in the mood for this type of episode tonight. So I'm not gonna. I definitely like the character development, and like Ben said, I'm waiting for that epic or quirky Joss Whedon backstory episode. You know, where he just uses the devices that we're familiar with. But, you know, overall, I like the character development. I understand that there, you know, you can't really have a long-running show without that. I'm going to give it a 5. I'm sure you all hate me.
No, not at all. Not at all.
I wasn't talking to you.
Well, now I do.
The collective you.
There you go, hat trick. You got everybody.
Nice. All right, John.
See, I must have had the music on and the wine cooler out because I gave it a solid 7. So apparently I was in the mood for that.
That's your Marvin Gaye there.
Thank you for opening up your inner thoughts to us. We need character development. This was a good character development episode, whereas you could get a horrible one. This one was not that. It does raise some questions about, okay, Melinda May's got something that happened in her past. Fitzsimmons, what the heck? I liked it. And I like the fact that I think they're going to preclude any other option other than Coulson actually did just die for a little bit and survived, and that is really him and not anything else.
Yeah, I don't think we're getting that resolved anytime soon either way. So they're going to drag that out as long as they can, which I'm okay with. I'm on board. Pete, we know we didn't actually watch the show.
Yeah, my rating is a not applicable.
There, that works.
But I was going to just add what I am looking forward to, especially from what I hear about this episode and what I have seen previously, is that individual character development. The ability for this show to, for each episode, revolve around one set of characters. Or, it's a small group. Anyway, the character development in episodes like this actually sort of keeps me riveted.
Yeah, agreed.
Just remember to have a wine cooler before you watch it.
That helps.
The rum. It's the rum that helps.
I'll be sure to bring in some next week that I can hand out to you guys before we leave work. Where my video just went. So I'll just leave my final thoughts. I'll give it a... I agree that it's about a... I'm going to go a 6.5. I'm going to go middle of the road. Because, again, I think that Scott's right. The intro part, while it was important development to the story, it felt a little more of a, procedural crime drama-ish kind of, feel to it. And it's, while that's going to fit sometimes, it's not always the best story, and I guess you have to be in the mood for it. But I definitely like the character development. I also highly enjoyed the scene... the interrogation scene with Melinda May and the cookies. But
yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah. That was a nice little one in there. And yeah, I think it was an overall pretty good episode. I just want to throw out, we talked about this on our regular podcast, on an episode that Dave is going to put up online tomorrow.
Yep.
Where we did a Marvel wrap-up episode. We did speak about how in a couple weeks there will be supposedly a tie-in to the new Thor Dark World movie in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I also read today there will be a tie-in sometime later in the season to the Captain America Winter Soldier movie, which may be even bigger because of the fact that it obviously involves S.H.I.E.L.D. So, in that movie, whereas Thor, I don't think, does as much. I think it'll be more acknowledgement than anything.
I read an article also that said they can't keep Coulson out of a Captain America movie.
Yeah. we'll see what happens. We'll see if we see that. But yeah, so definitely check out that other show when we post that live, because a lot of interesting stuff there. None of these pretty faces, unfortunately. It's all audio. So that could be a benefit.
So that's something to look forward to.
Yes, exactly. But yeah, and then join us here again next week after a new episode, which is set to air, episode 7. And we all saw most of us saw the teaser spoilers for that at the end of this episode, where it seems like there's something even at a higher level that they're not even at clearance to know about. So we'll see what that plays out to be. So thanks all for joining us, the one viewer we have left of the three that we had during the show. But I'm sure people will watch this after the fact and probably get bored with us by this point, too. thanks all for watching. And I try. Self-deprecating humor is my area of specialty. Anyway, thanks for watching, and don't get your cape caught in the door.
Hey everyone, you just listened to an episode of Superhero Speak. This is Dave. You can reach me at dave@superheroespeak.com. Also, if you're listening to this through the website, did you know you can go to iTunes and subscribe to it? So check us out there.
And this is Ben from Superhero Speak, which you can reach at ben@superheroespeak.com. And did you know you could also follow us on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/superheroespeak.
This is John, and you can reach me at john@superheroespeak.com, and if you want, there's our Twitter account, @superheroespeak.
All right. Thanks, and check us out at those spots.